outside the window, there's a woman being grabbed. They've dragged her to the bushes, and now she's being stabbed.
Maybe welcome back to the Bruce Sallon Show. I am Bruce Sallon, and you can email me at bruce@brucesallon.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N. That's S like in Sam's. Drew Sams, Pastor Drew Sams, Dr. Drew Sams, who has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 6 years. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California, and they are the proud parents of baby Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Oh, it's great to be on board. All these titles, I keep forgetting. My name, my business card gets longer and longer, but yes, that dad title, I think that's my favorite.
That's what I put first on my business card, and you can have pastor, you can have doctor, and you can have all the other things, but I think the thing that will be most endearing for you is being a papa.
Love it.
So, baby Judah, how is he doing?
I love. Every week you ask me this question, and it's so great to slow down enough just to even reflect and talk about it, and he's doing great. You know, he's a little over 3 months. He's smiling all the time. He's starting to giggle a little bit, which is so fun. And ready for this? Last night, we were floored. He slept from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. It was the first
nine hours.
Yeah.
Hey, so, that was a hallelujah.
Yeah, we woke up so confused. Wait, it's 5 o'clock. What happened?
I just love it.
Oh,
you're lucky after all the colic and the stuff you've been through. See, at 3 months, that's when it tends to ease.
Yeah, boy, we were so thankful.
And now you look back at it, it seems like a quick 3 months, right?
And it does. And it's so funny. I imagine years from now, and I'm already headed that way, I bet if somebody asked me, gosh, what were the first few months like with him sleeping? I'd say, oh, it was a piece of cake.
Well,
interesting how we edit history.
I suggest you won't, okay? Because I had, as you know, 3 months of hell with my firstborn and his colic. I look back at it, and I just remember that it was 3 months of hell. Mm. But I don't – the details and the real pain of it all, that vanished. It's the same thing that happens with childbirth. You know, a lot of women go through 24-hour labor, and then they have a second kid. So if the mind was able to hold on to just the pain and not the joy of a painful event, we wouldn't have more than one kid. And there's a lot of things we might not do. So the mind does tend to edit that. Speaking of painful events, my son, Arnie, who you know, got a very large tattoo, what he claims to be his first. It is a beautiful image of a Sanskrit of Buddhist, I like to call it like the Buddhist Ten Commandments. It's some compilation of spiritual sayings that are endemic to Buddhism. And it's bright red, which is faded, and he intends to have it touched up so it stays bright red, because evidently when you do the colors, you have problems. So you stunned me last week by telling me that you yourself have a tattoo. So we loosely talked about it, but I'd really like your take on the whole issue of tattoos, body art, and all that stuff, and how your religion approaches it, the Bible, if there's any references, and how you deal with it with your congregation, particularly among your youth ministry.
All right, we've got about an hour, right?
Yeah.
Wow, great questions, and you know, I did stun you last week when I shared that with you, and it was right before we went on the air, and so now we've got a little bit more time to unpack it. But
I thought having a dad chat as a tattoo was not too bad with you know, Thursday 6 to 7 p.m. under it. I was pleased.
I like that. That's great.
What was your tattoo again?
Yeah, so my tattoo, I'll give you the location what it is. So it's right on the inside of my left bicep. So most people don't know I have it because typically even if I wear a short sleeve T-shirt or you know, button up, it's covered. And so really it's people close to me or when I'm at the beach, people notice it. And it's actually Hebrew.
That's right.
And it's the word hallelujah, which means praise God. And it's a word that has significant meaning to me, especially as a Christian. And above that is it's kind of an artistic rendition of a dove, which is just a symbolic reference to the Holy Spirit.
Can you send me a picture?
I can.
Please. I really would love a picture of it, particularly since we've talked about it, and I might want to, you know, tweet it all over the place so I can embarrass the heck out of
you. There you go. There you go.
I mean, it does fit with Surfer Drew. There's no question. Having a, and also, joking aside, that word and its meaning, along with the dove, will never be out of fashion. Will never be something you go, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have put that on.
Yeah.
You may have different feelings or reduced or stronger feelings in your faith, but the general belief of praise God is never going to go away for you, and shouldn't for any human being.
Yeah, and at the time of my life, I had been thinking about that specific tattoo for about 2.5 years. My sister gave me great advice, and any listeners out there who are thinking about getting a tattoo, I thought this was good advice. She said, okay, if you want to get one, wait a year. And then if you still want to get it after that year, wait another year. And after 2 years of living with it on you in your mind, then maybe you're at the place. And really, she was speaking to those, you know, last-minute decisions that you regret the next morning, trying to avoid those. And so I did that, and at the time I was a musician leading worship in the church.
Ah, and so you had the music connection too. What instrument is your prime instrument?
Guitar.
Ah,
guitar.
Okay, cool.
And so really it was a reminder that, you know, it wasn't all about me, but it was about praising God. And as I had my arm out, you know, playing the guitar with my fretted hand, you know, not the strumming hand, I would often see it in the corner of my eye. And so it's just a reminder for me that it's not about me, but about God. You know, you asked a question about what does the Bible say about it, and there's only actually one reference of the word tattoo, and it's actually in Leviticus 19:28. So you're ready for this? This is a pretty strong verse against tattoos. It says this: "You shall not make any cuts in your body for the dead, nor make any tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord."
Well, in Judaism, it's forbidden, based on, I believe, that verse.
Yes.
And in Orthodox and conservative cemeteries, you're not allowed to be buried if you have any tattoos. I'm not sure about the Reform cemeteries. I would think they're having to ease it up or they won't have anybody there. When I visited my kid at summer camp, Aaron, who's in the studio with me today, I was quite stunned at the number of tattoos at this Jewish summer camp. There weren't a horrible amount, and all of them that I saw, with the exception of one young gender-neutral man-woman, were very tasteful. This one young person had them all over the place, and so I thought it was a little too much. But all the others were very much in the spirit of what yours is. They were about their religiosity, about their love of Israel, and they were. I mean, even though I don't like them, they were beautiful.
Yeah.
And
here's the interesting thing with that passage. My understanding from the commentaries and the background, the context that I've read specifically with that passage, is that there was, in the surrounding nations and the surrounding people groups, there was actually a practice where they would worship idols, and they would actually worship the dead, and through that they would make cuts on themselves, and that they would also mark their bodies with tattoos, with ink, as part of this ritualistic pagan worship of idols or of other gods. And so my understanding, the commentaries I've read, is that, as you know, God's people, God asked them to live with him as their Lord, and that their life would look very different than the surrounding people groups, to remind them that this is what it's like to live under God's rule and God's reign. And so I think as you're speaking to those kids that you saw with their love of Israel and some of the beautiful things, as you said, to me that's very different than a tattoo that was, you know, I love Satan or,
well, yes.
You know.
And that's why I actually wonder if, I mean, I know in Catholicism they have these meetings every 10 years ago, 10 years, I forget what they're called, in which they review the laws. And I'm sure in your form of Christianity they do, and I know Judaism, there's constant interpretation. So I just wonder if this may end up getting a pass, so to speak, at least in the Reform side of Judaism. And obviously it's acceptable in your side of Christianity, or you probably wouldn't be a pastor at a prominent church.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the verses for Christians that we look to often, Galatians 3, it talks about the law being a teacher that leads us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith but not by works. And then it says that now that faith has come, we are no longer under that teacher. It's almost like training wheels. You know, we've been given this, the Ten Commandments and the other laws that really set us on a course to one day be able to ride the bike in freedom without the need for the training wheels. You're not going against the law necessarily, but
you're stretching it.
Yeah, yeah.
We're out
that's
of time.
That's a whole other segment.
Yeah, we're out of time, Pastor Drew. Quickly, where can our listeners find you?
Well, right now on Facebook, I'm still behind on getting drewsams.com up and running. I might have to hire you to help me out. I'm getting less tech savvy than I used to be.
I would be honored. So you reach out, I'd be happy to.
Great.
And thank you so much. Do send me that picture. I'm very serious.
I will.
I would love to see it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Okay, stay tuned for Dr. Jennifer Weberman coming up after these messages.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire.